Welcome back, guys. DGS on KMOX 306 on the dot. So today was a big day in Donald Trump's criminal trial. Stormy Daniels took the stand, and we have Chet Pleben keeping track of it for us. Hello, Chet.
Hello, Dave. How are you?
At minimum, an embarrassing day for the former president. Was it a bad day legally?
Not necessarily. I think the substantial majority of Stormy Daniels' testimony today was irrelevant to the charges. Remember, the hush money payment on its own isn't a crime. That's not the issue. The issue is the payment that Trump made to Cohen, which he claimed was for legal expense and legal fees as a reimbursement for what Cohen paid to Stormy Daniels. Now, excuse me, I think they needed to call her as a witness, but she's got a lot of baggage. I mean, there's no question she's got baggage. But the defense, their whole defense from the beginning of this trial was denying that anything took place, that there was no affair, there was no sexual involvement. And Trump went out prior to the trial and proclaimed in public appearances that he even knew Stormy Daniels or Karen McDougal. So I think her testimony was certainly important from that aspect. But in terms of his relationship, albeit salacious as it was, isn't necessary because this jury doesn't have to find that there was a relationship. He could have paid her for a whole bunch of reasons. Maybe it was not true that they didn't have a relationship, and she was wanting to spread that information and disparage him during the course of the campaign. So maybe he wanted to stop her from doing that. And so you can have non-disclosure agreements. There's nothing improper about a non-disclosure agreement. There's nothing improper about her keeping her mouth shut. but it's when he disguises that and has an intent to disguise that to further the any evidence that this was all done to benefit the campaign, and it would involve a campaign, federal campaign finance disclosure law violation, that's where the problem comes into play. And so now, you know, they're cross-examining her, and on the one hand, she says, well, you know, I wanted that story out. Then she says, well, no, I didn't want that story out. And she's kind of all over the place. Clearly, she has established that she had a relationship with Donald Trump. And actually, Rona Graff previously had established that when she testified, albeit for the 10 minutes or whatever that she was on the witness stand. But Rona Graff said that she had Stormy Daniels' cell phone number. And Stormy Daniels said, well, yes, of course she had the cell phone number because I gave her the cell phone number because Donald Trump told me to get a hold of her and he gave me her number so I could contact her. And so she did. So all of these other elements, though, the salacious part of it, you know, the hotel room and he's in his underwear and his boxer shorts and T-shirt and all that silliness that they testified to. The question is how the jury is receiving that. And there's a risk when the prosecutor goes a little bit too far and goes into a situation like that, a salacious situation where they really don't need to go into. And the jury's wondering, well, wait a minute, are you doing this just to kind of disparage mm-hmm. this guy? And how, you know, how relevant really is this?
Yeah.
And you know, that may very well ultimately be a turnoff for them. I think that the testimony yesterday was with the accountants was substantially more critical than the testimony today. You know, the accountants established that checks were written to Cohen out of Donald Trump's personal account, that the majority of which he signed personally, and they were couriered over to the White House when he was in the White House. And instead of doing his duties as the president of the United States, this guy's signing checks to Michael Cohen for a retainer agreement that never existed. And you and I both know in the legal profession, you don't do anything unless you have some written document or written agreement with your client. No written agreements here, none whatsoever. Yet he's paying him for a non-existent written agreement and for work that's never documented. So that's important. That's critical.
Chad, is it a true statement that at the end of this case, the jury can be convinced that Donald Trump lied about both Stormy Daniels and Karen McDougal, that he did indeed have a sexual relationship with one or both of them, that he did, in fact, fudge the records? But if they're unable to prove the connection between fudging the records and trying to influence the election, he still walks.
Correct. That's absolutely correct. And you know, the argument, their argument now is, you know, we didn't even know these people, and they're kind of stuck with that. I'm kind of surprised they went down that road. But this whole thing begins with the Access Hollywood tape and the testimony of Hope Hicks the other day, last week, was very, very significant, very important. Because what Hope Hicks establishes was that Donald Trump tells her that he knew that Michael Cohen paid off Stormy Daniels. He knew that. Now, he knew it, he claims, after the fact, but that doesn't matter. He knew it. And his intent was on the question of not whether or not Michael Cohen wrote the check. His intent was to bury that so that he didn't have to make a campaign finance disclosure on that, because in order to do that, all the money that was paid would be for naught. And so that's part of the cover up, and that's the significance of it. And so that's a critical piece of evidence and a critical piece of information that Hope Hicks supplied last week. Mm-hmm. And this stuff about, well, My defense is he was concerned, and Hope Hicks said, well, he was concerned about Melania, about his wife finding out. Okay, let's say that's true, but the jury at the end of the day is going to be instructed that even if that this was his intent, but he had a dual motive, and he also wanted to make sure that the public didn't find out about that, so he could be elected as the president, the next president of the United States, and he didn't have to disclose it on a campaign finance disclosure form, then he's guilty, and the jury will be instructed that. So it doesn't matter. He could have had a whole bunch of reasons as to why he wanted this payment made to Stormy Daniels. But all they have to do is to find out that one of those reasons was the question of his intent to further the commission of another crime, and that's why he paid Michael Cohen the way that he did, and that's why the business records were falsified with that intent to conceal the other crime.
Chad, let's talk about the contempt stuff. You have been in so many trials where someone was either found in contempt, or I'm sure you've seen a million threats of, I'm going to hold you in contempt and you better have brought your toothbrush because you're spending the night in jail. Based on what's gone on, and he's been hit 10 times now, and the judge was pretty straightforward about, don't make me put you in jail. I don't want to put you in jail. You're the former president. You could be the next president, but I have to protect the integrity of the legal system. Do you think it's a real possibility?
I do. Yeah, I do. I mean, he's gone down the road, I think, he being Judge Merchant, as far as he can go. Understandably, he has taken as he's put up with as much as he possibly can, because at the end of the day, he needs to get through this trial. He needs to get over the trial. I suspect that in the event that he does lock him up for whatever period of time, that there would be an appeal, that there will be an attempt to stop the trial. There will be, I don't know how far up he could go, you know, with this current United States Supreme Court. I mean, who knows? I would say under normal circumstances, it would never reach that high. And under normal circumstances, it would be a situation where, you know, a court of appeals would give short shrift to any argument that, well, you violated a gag order and we're going to look at that. We don't care. The judge, I think, is doing every single thing that he can to make sure that he's exhausted every single possible remedy that he can under these circumstances with this kind of high profile case so he can get through it. But there's a limit and there's a point. On the question of whether Trump really wants to get locked up, I doubt it. I doubt seriously, but he wants to push this judge, I think, to as far as he can. But can you imagine Donald Trump being locked up overnight and then having to figure out how he can get his hair done and how he can get, you know?
I think it's the absolute best thing that could ever happen to him. I really do. I think he would make so much hay out of that. People who already believe all the stuff and believe that he's already being treated unfairly and the whole double standard, and you put him in prison, it could win him the election.
It may be yes, maybe no, but Donald Trump never impresses me as being the martyr type. Now, to your point, sure, it could make him money. You know, it could win him votes potentially. It could further his argument that he's unconstitutionally being denied the right to speak. But I think at the end of the day, this guy doesn't want to do that. Now, whether he can restrain himself and prevent that, that's a whole other different question. My guess is he can't. My further guess is that Judge Marchant will eventually lock him up for an hour, 2 hours, overnight, whatever it might be. And it's a shame that the Secret Service will have to endure that. But unfortunately, wow. I think Marchant is at the point now where his credibility is on the line, too. And if he doesn't act, you know, clients of mine that pulled that, I mean, they would be locked up in an absolute New York minute, without hesitation in this jurisdiction particularly. So we'll see. But stay tuned.
All right, Chad, we'll probably talk to you tomorrow. Thank you.
You bet.
Coming up on the other side of the break, we have Dave Murray, headlines, and then the think tank coming up with Judge Tom Frawley and Megan Shackelford. Have you guys seen the man or bear question going viral?
Yeah, we touched a little bit on it yesterday.
Where'd you come out?
That the men that are offended by it need to get over themselves. That was my take.
What about the bears that are offended?
Yeah, no, they're fine. They can go crap in the woods.
So I guess the thing is, which is scarier, a man you don't know or a bear?
Right.
I mean,
that's not much of a commentary on men.
Well, I mean, I was thinking about it. Like, if I was in the woods and I saw like a bear walking around, or if I just saw like one lone guy who looked a little shady, I'd be more scared of the guy.
Yeah, but you're fudging, though. Because, yeah, if it's a shady-looking guy, you know, if he's walking around wearing nothing but a fedora, but, I mean, if you just say, like, we're going to pick a random man and a bear, like, the man might help you. The man might be able to get you out of the woods or cook you dinner or something.
Or cook you for dinner.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, I understand. That was the thing that I understand the answer from some women, because some guys are unpredictable. And the bear is at least somewhat predictable. You know what a bear is going to do. Doesn't mean you can handle it, right? I mean, if a bear decides to attack you, you're being attacked and there's nothing you're going to do about it. But the guy, some men are like that, which is fine to say. It's not all of us. Like, that concern is not about you and me, Dave, or me and Andrew. It's not. We're not the guys people are worried about. And it doesn't offend me in the least if somebody...
I'm just thinking about, I see a bear, then I see Andrew peeking out from behind a tree.
like, hey!
I was going to say to Kevin, like, hey, speak for yourself, man.
Yeah.
Did you see the bear? I can tell that we are 335 DGS. Dave Murray joins us.
Hello.
Dave, thank you for the bespoke forecast for me yesterday with Phoebe driving back. I was really
absolutely
worried about her. It was very kind.
Anytime.
Of you.
I do that all the time.
Yeah,
it's quite amazing how often I do that.
Yeah, it's a big compliment. You know, people are like, hey, my loved one's in harm's way. Dave, what's it look like? So let's talk about the really bad stuff that hit Oklahoma first.
Okay. Oklahoma, Kansas. It actually a surprising number of tornadoes on the low side. What was really kind of advertised yesterday would have been 100-plus tornadoes, and only 17 were reported. Now, some of them were big deals, no question about it. But usually when you get a high level on the severe weather outlook, you get a lot more tornadoes than 17. But it was a rough day. That was the stuff that rolled through St. Louis last night, really early this morning. Three tornadoes reported, one in Sullivan, one in Defiance, and one in Bourbon. For the most part, they were EF0s, EF1s, and caused a little bit of damage, especially the one in Sullivan, kind of destroyed a section, hit very close to the high school, but kind of took out a restaurant down there. So that was the same batch, the same amount of energy that came through, but the storm system is not done yet. It's still moving and slowly, but it is moving, and that's what's on our way later on tomorrow.
Yeah, let's talk about that. It's KMOX Day at the ballpark. Could have maybe a delay or something.
Timing looks like 2 p.m. to 9 p.m., moving west to east across the listening area. And that's the best I can do right now as far as timing is concerned. So tonight is fine. This evening is fine. The overnight is fine. Tomorrow morning is fine. No weather concerns at all. It's at 2 p.m. to 9 p.m. This is a stronger batch than the stuff we had last night. This is a low-pressure system that actually is going to come right over St. Louis, and that always concerns me in severe weather season. It means it's got a little extra spin to it. If you get under a severe thunderstorm in that window, 2 p.m. to 9 p.m., they can bring large hail, golf ball size or larger, damaging winds of 70-plus miles per hour. And the difference with this batch tomorrow is that I'm seeing the setup for large-scale, long-track tornadoes. Now, that doesn't mean it's going to happen everywhere. Those are fairly rare, but the atmosphere is juicy enough to create some of those things. Really concerned off just to the south and to the east of St. Louis as we get through the afternoon and into the evening for the possibility of some large-scale tornadoes. All out of here by 9 o'clock, then skies clear out, northwest flow returns. Thursday, sunny, windy, low humidity, 72. Friday, sunny, 68. Overnight lows Thursday night and again Friday night, upper 40s to near 50. So it's the time for the BlackBerry winter, and that's going to have to do it this particular year. It's kind of where we should be, maybe a little bit below average, but considering where we've been with temperatures, it's going to seem kind of clear. So we'll label that the BlackBerry winter. Also, are you ready? The summer forecast, May 16th, right here on the Dave Glover Show.
I swear, is one of the ways I mark time is Dave's quarterly
too.
Forecast, yeah. And they seem to come faster and faster.
I know, right, Rachel? I was texting her, what was that, Friday, Rachel, I think? And she was like, already? We're doing the summer thing already?
It's so crazy.
Dave, why are you speeding them up on us?
Yeah. He controls time and the weather.
But we've had so many warm days, it also feels it's already kind of summer.
Yeah.
Headlines, Rach?
Headlines is brought to you by Schnucks. Get your groceries delivered or use curbside pickup with the Schnucks Rewards app. All right, I told Dave earlier, Dave Glover, that is, headlines is going to be weird today. So I'm just warning you in advance. We're going to start. Well, this is some especially weird stories. A sheriff's deputy is recovering after having a chunk of flesh bitten out of his head at a Florida music festival by a man who had consumed multiple psychedelic drugs. This happened on Sunday. It was the final day of Soul Fest, a four-day music and arts festival. Witnesses say the suspect was under the influence of multiple substances, including PCP, LSD, ketamine, mushrooms, and ecstasy when he assaulted the deputy and tried to grab his gun, resulting in a chunk being bitten out of the deputy's head.
What the suspect? That guy's lucky to be alive. The assailant is.
Right.
The suspect was eventually restrained and charged.
Man.
That one got you, didn't it?
That'll get you shot.
Yeah.
I mean,
hell yeah.
A Tennessee-based sanitation company is going to have to pay more than $500,000 after a federal investigation found it illegally hired at least 24 children to clean dangerous meat processing facilities in Iowa and Virginia.
Jeez.
Yes.
Yeah. That's been going on for a long time, at least alleged going on.
I remember seeing that story like a little while back.
The work included sanitizing dangerous equipment like head splitters, jaw pullers, and meat bandsaws in hazardous conditions where animals are killed and rendered.
Okay, that's the name of those
That's the name of the thing.
Next time you need to give us a more stringent warning about how weird headlines were going to be. Jaw splitters.
Head smash.
What was the punishment again?
They're going to have to pay more than $500,000.
That's
not
it?
Not enough.
Nobody's going to jail? They get 5 minutes in the jaw splitter.
You put a bunch of kids in harm's way for your profit, and you don't get to go to jail for that.
Yeah, that's 500 grand is nothing to
that
a company.
That should be jail time. Good Lord.
All right, let's see here. A marijuana theme park ended up being a scam. This happened in Nebraska.
Wait, start over.
A man is going to prison after duping nearly 24 investors with his wildly optimistic promises about a marijuana theme park in Alaska. Prosecutors said Brian Cordy's proposed Bud and Breakfast caused 22 people to invest thousands of dollars.
Wait. That guy's going to go to jail.
He's going to prison.
That guy's going to jail.
Where the ones that where his nickname kids, will be the jaw splitter.
But right. The ones that paid kids to clean the jaw splitter.
But the toddlers on there
are just going to get a fine.
Brian Cordy told investigators that guests would enjoy marijuana on the premises and gaze at the northern lights while staying overnight in rooms with glass ceilings. This was all BS. He was just making it up. Investors also believed that cannabis would be grown, cultivated, and sold to customers at the resort. Ultimately, though, Cordy used the money to pay off personal debt and refinance his house.
He must be one charming dude.
Yeah.
He must be. Or they must have been super stoked.
He's giving away free product. At the meetings.
Yeah, right.
All right. RFK Jr. has a key endorsement. Did anyone see this?
No.
Kevin Spacey has endorsed his loyal friend. If I were RFK, I'd be like, thanks, but no thanks.
Yeah, you're all
no,
good, thanks. Kev. You stay back there.
Spacey shared via X, formerly Twitter, quote, "There's a lot I can learn from this man. When the world turned its back on me, Bobby leaned in."
Is that actually going to help? Like, yeah, when I was accused of being a terrible person and sexually assaulting people, he didn't abandon me.
Right.
All right.
Again, I would probably skip that endorsement if I were RFK Jr. He's probably like, please take down that tweet.
Yeah, like, I'm a good guy.
All right. Dozens of escaped chickens invaded Brooklyn on Monday after the doors of a cargo truck that was transporting them accidentally opened.
So. I've got a real visual.
I'm picturing a bunch of guys seals. Remember how Rocky was dressed in his gray sweats trying to catch the chicken in the Rocky movie? I'm picturing a bunch of people doing that. Like, come here.
The street had to be shut down while police officers collected the lost cages and then had to chase down the loose chickens. But all of the escapees were recaptured.
How many chickens are we talking about?
Dozens of chickens.
So
that'd be kind of hard to get all of them
invaded.
Together.
Take it over.
Invaded implies like intent.
Yeah.
And my final story, French bakers have claimed the baguette record for the longest baguette ever made. It is 461 feet long. It trumps the previous record from Italy of 435 feet and 1 inch.
These are the kind of things I wish we'd stop doing because, like, this is why the aliens haven't introduced themselves. They're like, I'm ready. You ready to go? Like, I'm ready to go. Let's go. And then they're like, wait, they just made a 500-foot piece of bread. Let's
I'm trying
not
to figure
go.
Out how you do that.
Yeah, how do you bake that?
Do you have like a...
Yeah, because if you just stick them together,
that's
anyone
cheating.
Can do that.
Cheating, right. So
no
like,
one has a 500-foot oven.
Is it like one of those, like they have a conveyor belt that slowly rolls it through an oven that's in the middle like of a giant field?
Like at Quiznos, they got the like thing that just rolls the...
Yeah, the jaw splitter.
The jaw splitter. Crush
it. Those baguettes are good, though.
All I know is that all the story says was the bread was made in public. I guess so they couldn't hide any terrible secrets about the bread.
The only thing that would make me happy right now is if Rage made up every one of those stories.
Yes. Oh my God, that'd be the best.
She just forgot to do headlines.
I used ChatGPT real quick,
going right
give me
off
some
the top.
Weird headlines.
Speaking of ChatGPT, we have an Andrew song. AI put together.
What?
We do. Should we listen to it
yes.
now?
Yes.
Yeah, why not?
It's this top one, right, Andrew?
Uh-huh.
Okay, thanks to listener Jim who made this song.
Andrew, your hair's so dark and thick. Talks of the game, knows every single trick. From fixing rockets to curing the flu. He's got the answer, at least that's what he'll tell you. But sometimes that answer comes out a little wrong. A jumbled mess where the facts just don't belong. He's got a heart of gold, that much is true. But his knowledge of Bankwell, it needs a little review. His car, a legend, a trash car by name. A rolling landfill, a mobile hall of fame. For crumbled napkins and french fry delight. Co-piloting with him, a tiny furry mite.
Can I just read you a few of the lyrics?
Yes, please.
Yeah, please.
Back in high school, he ruled the marching band. Euphonium king, a legend in the land. His solo soared a sound both grand and bright, but those days are fading, replaced by endless nights.
Yeah, so I wanted to address that.
Wow!
I wanted to address that. The song is very flattering, and it's very, very sweet, but I do take a slight umbrage with the lyric
you
think
that
it's
my flattering?
Darkest that my brightest days have been replaced by endless darkness. I don't know. I mean, I'm not killing the game out here, but
of fast food wisdom and facts half baked and strange, a lovable dreamer lost in a knowledge exchange. If you think this is flattering,
somebody did a song. Yeah, I guess it's like a parody, but that's flattering.
They say he has a heart of gold.
Yeah.
Okay.
It's not a diss track.
It is not a diss track. It is a diss track.
Andrew needs to write one back.
AI just got beef with you.
Yeah, I'm gonna diss track against Suzanne Vega or whoever.
You realize
that song sounds like.
This is the only information AI has on you right now.
This is going to be remembered for all of eternity.
It's going to be the new national anthem when AI takes over.
When AI takes over, it's like, Andrew, I know all about you.
Thank you, Dave. Appreciate it.
All right.
Not sure what to make of this. Nicolas Cage will play Joseph, as in Jesus' adoptive father, in a horror movie called The Carpenter's Son, which features Jesus and Mary and Joseph hiding in Rome. And he kills a bunch of people.
Who?
Little kid Jesus.
What?
Like, I'm not the most religious guy, but I don't think I'd be making this movie.
Yeah, it just comes down to respect. I mean, you have free speech and freedom of expression and all, but you're going to offend a lot of people, and it's just not very nice.
Probably the point.
Yeah.
Right? Yeah.
Get attention.
Yeah, Nicolas Cage.
That's a choice, isn't it?
Sure is.
I mean, it's one thing for an unknown, I don't know who's making it, but it's one thing for like an unknown movie maker to be like, I'm going to get on the radar this way. He's Nick Cage. He doesn't need to.
I'm
going
to say this wrong. You're going to have to laugh at me. FKA Twigs. You know who that is?
Yeah. I mean, I've never heard her name said out loud.
Playing Mary and Noah Jupe. Jupe, J-U-P-E from A Quiet Place will play Jesus.
All right.
All right.